Are you addicted to drama?
Yes!
Are you surrounded by it?
Yes!
Want to get rid of it?
Yes!
Well, here's your chance. The next session of Drama Detox starts now.
Call 888-9-CALL-KIM
and get yourself cleaned up.
Oh.
It's Drama Detox on Your Time with Kim Iverson.
How can you tell if your boyfriend or girlfriend is more likely than not to be a cheater? Well, with us tonight is Dr. Karen Ruskin. She is a marriage and family therapist, also the author of Dr. Karen's Marriage Manual. She's here for Drama Detox tonight. So if you have any questions for her, if you've got some dilemmas, issues going on in your relationship, call us now. The number is 888-922-5554. So Dr. Karen, tell us, what is the one sign to tell, basically, that'll let us know if our boyfriend or girlfriend is more likely than not to be a cheater?
Right. Thanks for asking. Everybody wants to know the secret sign. And although there are a few, the number one key secret sign is if they are an externalizer. You want me to explain that one?
Yes. What's an externalizer?
Okay. So an externalizer is somebody who has a tendency to blame others when things go wrong. So typically, this style of coping with life's challenges is a behavior that's been developed over time. So for an example, if something happens at work, it's not about what I can do to make a difference and to grow. It's what that other person did. If in the relationship something's bothering them, it's not about what I can do to help improve this relationship. It's about what you can do. It's always somebody else outside of them. That character trait is absolutely a sign to tell you that this person who you are dating is more likely to cheat than not, because when they are not happy in their relationship, they will go outside of their relationship because the relationship's having a problem. Instead of, let me confront it, what can I do? Mm-hmm. Instead, I will externalize. I will go outside of it. That's a key sign.
Wow. And it's because they think, well, it's your fault, and this is why we're having these issues, or this is why I don't love you anymore. And so someone else is going to be better for me because you are not. It's you, not me. It's you.
Absolutely. And, you know, with all this political talk right now, I keep seeing what's happening on the news, and every single time Gingrich opens up his mouth, you see the externalizer in him all over the place, blaming everybody, to the point where here his wife, his ex-wife, is talking about her pain, and he twists it, oh, so skilled at the art of conversational manipulation to get other people to see what he wants them to see. And that is something that's a skill in business, but very hurtful in a relationship.
Interesting.
So look out, ladies, if you see your man is typically an externalizer, know that that's significant when you marry him.
Mm. Yeah, and with Gingrich, we know he's cheated on two of his wives. I mean, that's what they... He keeps leaving them for the next one.
We know that already.
Right, so then it would make sense, you know, that he would be that type of person that would be an externalizer. That's really interesting. It makes a lot of sense, though, because you would start to seek outside of the relationship if you feel like the person you're with is really to blame, or it's an issue, you know, it's them, because they're not the right person for you, or they're not doing what they need to do. They're not giving you enough attention. They're not giving you enough sex. It's them. So then you go find somebody
else. Exactly. And you'll see these signs and symptoms, not just in the relationship, but in other areas of their life that they externalize. It's an actual personality theme. And when you see that theme, that is an absolute warning sign that says, this person is more likely to be a cheater than not.
We are talking to Dr. Karen Ruskin tonight. She is a marriage and family therapist. So if you have a dilemma, you can call into the show, 888-9-CALL-KIM. Before we take calls, Dr. Karen, what is the most common married sex complaint by men and women?
That is such a great question, right? Because there's so much complaining going on in marriages about sex.
Mm-hmm.
So the number one that I have found is, why is it that my wife tells me I ruined the night for us to be intimate sexually just because I did something during the day that annoyed her? And then on the flip side, the women ask in turn, number one sex complaint, which is, why am I not in the mood? What's wrong with me? I love my husband. or the person I've been with for a long time, because this happens with a lot of folks who are not actually married, but they've been together for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the number one sex question for each of them, and you can see how it's intertwined. If the man is saying, well, why is she telling me that's it? You know, she's not in the mood to be with me. And the woman's saying, why am I not in the mood to be with him when I love him? So that's the number one question. Now, the answer has four parts to it. Should we take a look at that now?
Sure, just real briefly, and then we want to get to a call.
That would be great. Okay, so one part I'll be in brief, and then if you want more details later, we can discuss. The four parts of this is, number one, it's women's perspectives about sex.
Mm-hmm.
Most typically are different than men's. Number two, often women carry in their mind their feelings about their husband's actions that have nothing to do with sex, and it carries into their sexual relationship because their emotions are tied into the sexual relationship instead of separate from their sexual relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And number three is the whole journey of connect, disconnect, dependence, independence, individuality, and enmeshment. And number four, biologically, women were created to be able to shut off and turn on their sexual interest, whereas men, they are ever ready physiologically. So certainly if any of those four you want to go into more detail later, we can, but those are them in brief and bullet pointed.
Oh, excellent, excellent. And do you have those in your marriage manual, in your book, Dr. Karen's Marriage Manual?
I do have those in the marriage manual,
good.
And they're explained in more detail, as
perfect.
Well as what couples can do in order to enhance their relationship and to really grow and have a lasting marriage or relationship. If they're not married, that stands the test of time.
All right. We do have Austin on the line. He's got a problem. You're on with Dr. Karen Ruskin. What is it, Austin?
Hello. First off, I just want to say I love the show.
Thank you.
I don't know if you really get that a whole lot from guys, but...
thank you, Austin.
You know. Okay, so I have this girl. Let's say her name is Lauren. Lauren's a pretty common name. Okay, so me and her went out on a few dates. She said that she wasn't ready to be exclusive or anything, and I expressed how, I felt pretty strongly about her. And... then she continues to tell me that she's just not ready for a committed relationship.
Okay.
Less than a week after the last time we had our date, she gets a boyfriend.
Mm.
And I was just wondering
why that
how
is.
I should handle it, because whenever a girl expresses her feelings toward me and I don't really feel the same way, I don't have a problem, you know, just letting her know rather than stringing her on.
Okay. So so what exactly are you asking, Austin?
I was wondering, maybe I was possibly trying to get a female's perspective on the situation, and maybe if you've ever been in the same situation and why it felt like that.
Well, I have my answer, but Dr. Karen, what do you think?
You have your answer.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the question, Austin. For some people, they really have a hard time being able to say goodbye to somebody. They, in essence, want to hold on to both. So there is the possibility that she does enjoy being with you, right? But that as she had communicated to you, she's not ready for exclusivity. So perhaps what your gut was telling you, which is what you typically do when there's a relationship that you don't want to get to the next level with, which is that you let them know. It sounds like she was letting you know by saying she's not ready for exclusivity,
mm-hmm.
that she doesn't want to go the next level with you, but perhaps she does like you, but she's still interested in being with somebody else and in essence seeing what's out there. It sounds like she's still in exploratory mode, which may mean that she may never want to have a long-term relationship with you, or she's just truly not ready for a long-term relationship.
But she's in a relationship with someone else now. That's his problem. And I see this all the time where someone will say, I don't want a relationship. I don't want a relationship. And then the next thing you know, they turn around and they're in a relationship, but with someone else. So my answer is she just wasn't that into you, unfortunately. And that sucks. But, I mean, it's better you know now. Better that, you know, you get that out of the way and find somebody else. But I mean, I see that all the time, don't you, Dr. Karen, where people are like, oh, I don't want a relationship. And they're saying that to somebody who wants one. And then they turn around and they do have a relationship with someone else.
Well, is she in a relationship with somebody
else? Yeah, she has a boyfriend now.
The person too.
Yeah, she has a boyfriend now.
Is he still on the line?
No.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay.
She does still have
Hello?
A boyfriend now. Yes.
She has a boyfriend, yeah.
Hello?
Dr. Karen?
Hello? Did the phone cut out? Hello?
I guess so. All right, we're going to go
is
ahead and take a
there?
Quick break. It is your time with me, Kim Iverson. We do have Dr. Karen Ruskin on the line. At least we're going to get her back on the line. And we're going to be right back. So if you have a dilemma, you need some advice, she is a marriage and family therapist. Go to her website, drkarenruskin.com. Grab her book, Dr. Karen's Marriage Manual. Stick around. It's Drama Detox here on Your Time with Me, Kim Iverson.
Got drama? Why get used to it when you can get rid of it? Call 888-9-CALL-KIM. It's Drama Detox and Your Time with Kim Iverson. We'll be right back.
Dr. Karen Ruskin is with us tonight. She's a marriage and family therapist, author of Dr. Karen's Marriage Manual. If you have a dilemma, need advice, 888-9-CALL-KIM. Hi, Daryl.
Hey, how are you doing this evening?
Great, thank you. So what's going on?
Well, I just wanted to mention I am a first-time caller. I've listened to the show a couple of times, and I'm really not making that up.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of people out there that are thinking, oh, really? Right.
Right.
But it's true.
Okay.
So, non-traditional student, you know, middle age, back into school, met my girlfriend a couple of years ago when she was still living in Colorado. So now she's in Oregon. I've been out to visit a couple of times, and I'm in the process of next summer moving to Oregon. So there's a really nice strong emotional connection there, and we do have a lot in common. In the beginning, you know, the sexual chemistry was like really strong. And so I don't know if it's because I've either met my match or this is the first time I've actually had a partner who is kind of a little more aggressive with the sexuality than I am. But one concern that's sort of surfaced is because it does take her a while to reach a climax, you know, I'm kind of like thinking, well, you know, can I last that long? You know, because I don't want to reach a point before she does, you know, because I am, you know, wanting her to be fulfilled. But so now it's kind of like this, you know, I try and hold off for, you know, several approaches that she might give, leading into a lot of frustration so that I can kind of rest
okay,
up for
so
a few
Daryl,
days.
Okay, so Daryl, let me just get this straight because we got to move on. You are afraid that you're not going to be able to keep up. You're insecure about her sexual prowess. And you're afraid that you're not going to be able to satisfy her.
Right, that I'll climax before she does. And
so what exactly is your question?
So I want to move out there. I want to pursue this relationship because there's a very strong friendship. But at the same time, you know, how do I kind of approach, you know, the sexual aspect of it, you know, maybe in a different way so that that end of the relationship, you know, stays healthy.
Okay. So, Dr. Karen, I would imagine that this is kind of a problem in many relationships where they're not matched very well sexually. Do you think that that's a big deal breaker?
I don't think it's a huge deal breaker when we're talking about the fact that they're living so far apart, because part of the relationship developmental growth happens when you are spending more time together emotionally, physically, sexually. What they're trying to do is find what I consider their sexual style. And the fact of how things are going down while they're apart, it may exacerbate and be worse when they're living together,
mm-hmm.
or they may be able to work on their sexual style together by being able to be together, and perhaps the intensity and pressure that he feels to not climax first because of the fact that they don't spend so much time together because they're so far apart, when they're actually together, that may be able to grow and they'll be able to have more healthy dialogues about it. But the fact is, these dialogues need to start happening now before he goes ahead and moves out there. There needs to be honest conversation right. about what his concerns are, about climaxing, see what her response is,
right.
and see whether or not that's something that can be worked through okay. together. Or if this concern that he has, if he's feeling pressure from her, pressure from himself. So this has to be talked about, this has to be explored, and shouldn't be ignored, and don't assume that it's going to get better, worse, or exacerbate.
Yeah.
But it does need to be attended.
Oh, poor guy, though, because, I mean, it just means that he's going to, it's like, basically your answer is, I don't know. I mean, it could go either way, and you won't know until you try. I mean, you won't know until you go out there and find out, because some people, you're right, some people are able to come to some sort of an agreement like a rhythm, and they get into, you know, they do get into a rhythm and they get comfortable, and so they're able to work it out. Others can't, and he's not going to know until he tries. I mean, that's really
right,
what it comes down to.
Until he explores other sexual interactions with her other than just the focus on, I have to make sure I don't climax
right,
first. All the pressure's
right.
on, I can't climax first. So instead of developing a sexual style, a sexual relationship, that's the focus. If that continues to be the focus, then the sexual relationship will be a problem.
Right.
And that's very, very painful.
Oh,
it doesn't
gosh.
Have to be that way.
And I wish that he didn't have to move in order to be with her. I mean, it would be so much easier to be able to explore that while they're in the same city, but to make the big sacrifice of moving only to not know. But you know what? That's kind of the way it is in any relationship. I mean, you don't know if it's going to work out for any number of reasons.
I don't know if it's going to work out, but I will say that if you're already concerned and focusing on that, you're telling yourself that there's a problem, you don't move when there's already knowing that there's a problem. You have
okay.
to start dialoguing about it first
right.
and exploring what your concerns are to see if there can be a dialogue exploration about the problem. If there can't be, then that would be a real big red
right.
flag.
Okay. All right. Good to know. We do have James on the line. Hi, James.
Hi, Kim. I love you.
Thank you. So tell us, what is your question?
I have been in a relationship for over a year, and I love him so much. But recently, I found out he's been flirting online and texting. He says it's all innocent fun. And my question is there anything such as innocent fun?
Oh, with online flirting and texting. What do you think of that, Dr. Karen?
That is a great question, and it has actually become a philosophical question of our time. We are living in what I consider a relationship revolution, meaning we are redefining what is considered appropriate and inappropriate behavior in relationship dynamics with regards to the world of technology, because what was flirting long ago is transforming with technological advances. So my response is, yes, there is fun flirting, but when you say, is there innocent fun flirting, that depends on one's definition of innocent, because if you consider innocent that it's fun, it makes you feel good, but the other person is not hurt emotionally and or physically and or sexually, okay, then perhaps it's innocent. But the moment it hurts your partner, if they're feeling like you're spending emotional energy on this other person and it makes them feel bad about your attention, your commitment, your relationship with them, then it shifts from into not being so innocent. So really what is considered innocent is in the process of truly being redefined, reestablished. Heck, even cheating, the definition of what cheating is being redefined in this relationship revolution with regards to technology.
So it's really whatever James thinks is cheating.
It's really whatever they both do, because in a relationship, it's about trying to understand what each of them feel, and if they each have a different impression and perspective, trying to understand whether or not they can meet with that, or if one person remains hurt and the other person thinks their behavior is okay, then you have a problem on your hands.
Mm,
so it's understanding
okay.
what they each think.
Right. Absolutely. Personally, I think it's cheating. I mean, that's just...
Well, if you're talking about sexting, if it's actually sexting, because he said flirting online and texting, that's different for different people. I'd have to know what exactly that means. But if it is, let's call it sexting. Let's say it's real definition of flirting. Again, what is a real definition of it, right? I believe it's cheating. You know, when that whole thing happened in the news with Wiener, and I, you know, talked on the news about that, and people asked, well, was it cheating? Is sexting cheating? And I said, yes, absolutely yes, it is cheating.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it only leads to one other thing.
you know? And what really is the definition of cheating? Is cheating only sexual, or can cheating be emotional? Can cheating be with words? Absolutely. Yeah. Cheating can be through words, even if it's not actually sexual, by the definition transformation that's happening
our
time.
Yeah, and I really just think cheating is a matter of if your partner's not comfortable with it, if they found out and they'd be upset, or if you would not want them to see you doing it, it probably is cheating.
You know, I like that, Kim. I agree with you. I like that.
Mm-hmm. All right. We do have Dr. Karen Ruskin on the line with us tonight. She's a marriage and family therapist, the author of Dr. Karen's Marriage Manual. We are going to take a quick break. You can go to her website by logging onto my site, yourtimewithkim.com. If you have a dilemma and need some advice, you need some marriage counseling, some quick marriage counseling, call us now, 888-922-5554.
Got too much drama? Get rid of it. Call 888-9-CALL-KIM and get detoxified. More Drama Detox coming up on Your Time with Kim Iverson. Stick around.
Drama Detox. I have an expert. You have questions. Tonight's expert is marriage and family therapist, Dr. Karen Ruskin, also the author of Dr. Karen's Marriage Manual. And we are taking your calls, 888-922-5554. Teresa, what's going on with you?
Hi, yes. I've been with my fiance for 4 years now, and we're getting married in...
Teresa, you're cutting out. How long have you guys been together?
4 years, and we're getting married in 2 years.
Okay.
We just started, the wedding planning and everything like that. And for us, when we go out, if we go out separately or even if we go out together, neither one of us have ever had issues with, us dancing with other people. Never really been a big issue, but I actually met someone that I danced with when I went out one night without him. And, we didn't exchange phone numbers or anything, but... I found myself, I really enjoyed, the way, he danced, and, I found myself, keep on thinking about him, and we have a mutual friend, I found out, and I keep on, trying to, go on his Facebook and check out, I keep on thinking about him, and I really believe in emotionally cheating, and I've never found myself to be, a cheater, so... and I'm still absolutely in love with my fiance, so I was just wondering why, my mind seems to be wandering.
So you think you're emotionally cheating on your fiance?
Yes.
And you want us to tell you if you are or you're not?
Or at least, why, if I'm still in love with my fiance, why would I be thinking about this other guy and, be caring about what he's doing, you know?
Because you're emotionally cheating. Dr. Karen, what do you think of Teresa's issue?
Well, it sounds to me like Teresa's issue is one of that she's experiencing sexual passion, sexual feelings, even if she's not actually experiencing the desire to have sex with him, but a sexual passionate experience when you're dancing with somebody could be very erotic. So, she could love her fiancé and love the potential future that she can have with the fiancé and still experience erotic feelings about another person. The difference is whether or not she's going to act on it, and she's already started to touch her toe into the deep end by looking him up, seeing if she could find out scoop about him on Facebook. So for her, it's either she's got to cut it completely with regards to checking out and finding out about this other guy and focus on finding some extra spice with her fiancé, or she needs to reevaluate whether or not she wants to reevaluate. And it sounds like she doesn't want to reevaluate. She wants to remain with her fiancé. I'll give a side note. By the way, fantasies about being with somebody else does not necessarily have to mean cheating, having a fantasy, but there's a difference between fantasizing about somebody and finding them attractive and then actually wanting to find them and research them and look them up. That's where the line is that she's going over. So she knows, her gut's telling her that she needs to stop this, and she's right if she's going to continue on with her fiancé.
Do you think that this is a sign that maybe she shouldn't get married?
Not necessarily, and it wouldn't be right for me to say absolutely yes or absolutely no, because I've seen it go both ways. It could be a sign for her that she's not all in her car, you know, she's not all in for him. Mm-hmm. But what it could also be, as simple as that happens with most people, is that she's experiencing erotic feelings about another person, and she does not have to take it to the next level. And in fact, most people throughout the course of their relationship life, they will experience some type of erotic feelings about somebody else and then choose not to act on them. That is a healthy, normal experience. And I know that sounds like it would be scary for Teresa to hear that, because she's afraid that she's emotionally cheating. The thing is, because she's researching this guy, that's the line that she's crossing over, that she wants to come back up on the other side of the pool, because that's when she's crossing over
to
the wrong path.
Well, I think it's important. What you just said is really, really important for people to hear, and that is, at some point in your relationship, in your healthy relationship, you are going to experience infatuation, erotic feelings, heart palpitations for someone else. And that's healthy and normal. You just have to choose not to act on them.
That's the difference between us, as between impulsivity and the beast within us, and acting on the beastly impulsivity, versus the feeling the feelings and making a choice and controlling ourselves. Feeling the feelings is not wrong. It's whether or not we act on them. That's the difference.
All right. Let's talk to Ron here. Hi, Ron.
Hi.
So you think your wife's cheating on you?
Yeah. We've been together for about 3 years now, and she just got laid off her job. And we were laying on our bed the other night, and about 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, we get a phone call, and it's her phone ringing, and I get up and answer it. And some guy answers and asks for Terry. And I asked what he needed, and he hung up on me. Since then, we've been getting about 4 different random phone calls.
Huh. And so you think, have you asked her about it?
Yeah, she said it's about work, but she hasn't been working.
Well, and that's kind of weird that it would be about, well, unless she's got a new job that she's not telling you about, which has to do with men that would want to hang up.
Yeah, and I'm not sure, like, really what to do. I mean, I'm 28 years old and don't really know what to do.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Karen, what do you do when you suspect your spouse of cheating? What's the right approach?
Yeah, the right approach is to tell the person with clarity 2 key points. 1, I am genuinely concerned that you are cheating. It's a serious topic. Please, we have to confront this. If you are cheating, even if you want to protect yourself and me from telling me, if you care about me at all, you will tell me the truth, because I really need to know, so that way as a team we can communicate about it and figure out what to do. 2, sharing with the person what cheating is to you. Meaning, you can say something along the lines of, cheating to me, it would be like a knife in my heart. It absolutely would be. You know that, and I know that. But it would be even worse, a rusty twisting knife, if you don't actually tell me the truth. Mm. So please, let's talk about it. And if we are having a problem in our relationship and you've already cheated, or you're thinking about cheating, tell me, so as a team we could figure out what steps to take to either enhance our relationship or to get help or to reevaluate our relationship and figure out what to do next. Mm. Those are the 2 key concepts, and of course your own creative words in a way that fits for you, but those are the themes of how to dialogue. Those are the 2 key things, and I will also share, have your eyes and your ears open to what's going on, because if you actually think that she is cheating, then don't put your head in the sand and see what you can find out. see what's going on, check out what's happening, do be cognizant of what phone calls are coming in, ask questions, don't just let it go and be like, oh, okay, whatever. Actually, just like you're starting, just like Ron was talking about that he's starting to do, ask questions, but don't just leave it alone.
Right.
Really talk about it and confront the issue
Dr. Karen,
a dialoguing manner,
right.
In a confrontational, your face is under the light,
right,
in a police station kind
of
manner.
Like in a, okay. What do you do? So you're saying that if you do suspect your partner of cheating, so do you think you should then kind of snoop and find out if they're cheating on you? And then, you know, because a lot of people say, well, if you do that, then your relationship's already over.
No, I don't think if you do that, your relationship is over, because even relationships that are cheating, the relationship can come back together and be enhanced. There are some relationships that it does end afterwards, and there are some that by finally confronting the truth, because remember, if there is cheating, there was a problem prior to the cheating that led to the cheating.
Mm-hmm.
So by finally knowing the truth, then the healing can start, confronting the truth and enhancements. So I do believe in confronting the situation, and if you really believe the person is cheating and they're not telling you that they are, but you really believe that they are, I don't think you do not snoop. I think you have to, because you have to actually, if they're not telling you and you think it's happening, you're just going to obsess about it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So see if you can find out the reality of the situation, so then that way you know the truth, and then you can figure out, what do I want to do with this information now?
So let's say you thought they were cheating. You snooped. You found nothing. Now what?
Well, if you think they're cheating, you do everything that it takes in dialogue. They will not admit it. They say they're not. So you decide, all right, let me try and do a little bit of snooping around, and you still find nothing. If they're saying they're not cheating and you find nothing, then what you're really left with is, what steps can I take to enhance this marriage, the fact, or this relationship, if you're not married? The fact that I'm feeling like this person is cheating on me must mean that something's not going right in this relationship. So then you start taking action on doing things like, for an example, Operation Appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
This is where every single day you verbalize things that you appreciate about your spouse. Another technique is called I Do For You and I Do For Us. It's where every single day you think of, what's one thing I could do special for this person I love? What's one thing I could do special for the couplehood? And every single day you do something for the couplehood, you do something special for that one thing. Over 3 weeks' time, if every single day you're implementing Operation Appreciation and I Do For You and I Do For Us,
things will be
after
better.
After a few weeks, either things are going to enhance, or you're
I'm
going
sorry.
To recognize that this person
Dr.
is
Dr. Karen, thank you so much. I'm sorry to cut you off. We do have to go. Go to her website, drkarenruskin.com.